Okay. Thank you. Can you all hear me? Yeah, it's a little bit loud sometimes. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to present today a journey on how to add RISC-V support to my favorite operating system. So a little bit about myself. My name is Adrian Vladu. I work for a small company in Romania, Cloud-Based Solutions. And for the past 15 years, I've been doing quite a lot of software work in the cloud world. I don't know if anyone here is familiar with OpenStack. Anyone? OpenStack guys? Yeah. Then, of course, OpenStack changed to Kubernetes on OpenStack. containers, and here we are. I have also a few years of experience in making sure Linux actually works on hardware or in software virtualization like Hyper-V. Also did quite a lot of work on ARM. So that's my my background. I'm a Flatcar maintainer, Flatcar container Linux maintainer. So this is the favorite operating system that I'm going to present about. You can find me on GitHub and you can shoot me an email if you want. So let's establish some outlines. Why RISC-V? Why Flatcar container Linux? And also the bulk of the presentation will be about how I managed to add another architecture support to Flatcar. And if the networking works, hopefully I will present you a demo with Flatcar running Kubernetes on it, on RISC-V. Hopefully that works. So a little bit of history. I actually found out about RISC-V 2 years ago here at FOSDEM. And decided, oh, nice, let's see how it works. And then last year, it was a big year in RISC-V because a lot of cheap hardware appeared on the in the market. And I thought, okay, maybe it's time to buy one, get one, and see how it goes. I decided to get one of those boards, and of course, as a as a normal tinkerer would do, I actually end up buying 3 boards, not one, of course. Why? My background about ARM 64, so I've been doing this tinkering with Raspberry Pi from the Raspberry Pi version 1, 2, 3, 4. I have a lot of Raspberry Pis at home and a lot of other boards, so I thought, okay, it might not be so difficult afterwards to also work with RISC-V. So, first board I got, it was in February last year, and the best board that you can buy from the market was the Litchi Pi 4A. Anyone here has such a board? Great. So this was the entry point for me as a tinkerer, because it had quad core, had an availability of 16 gigabytes of RAM. Unfortunately, it had only SD cards and eMMC, so the NVMe part was lacking. So what did I do? Well, I bought one with NVMe support, right? this one is the Hi-5 Unmatched. It's a precious board. It's an amazing board. Although I found out after I bought it that the NVMe microcontroller was not that fast, but still I could use it with an NVMe. And then I found out more also about the how all the let's say environment works. That Canonical supported this board for like 3 years already, which was amazing. And I could basically run Ubuntu on it by without an issue. Then I found out that the Ubuntu image came with a downclock of the CPU. Very interesting. Then I learned how to overclock it, of course. And it's working very well. Then in October 2024 came the Banana Pi F3, the new CPU, the Spade Smith SpaceMeet X60 with the M1 or K1 variant. This one had the K1 variant, and this board ticked all the boxes. Had NVMe, had enough RAM to play with, had vector extensions. Well, almost all of the boxes, because it doesn't have H extension, the virtualization extension. So I was ready. I had the boards. Okay, let's see how I can go further. So it's being said that, and I strongly believe that the Linux, the RISC-V, it's a Linux equivalent of the CPU in structured set architectures, and I really like that. The recent availability of hardware was the tipping point for me to actually involve time into RISC-V. So, because you have to test on something, and the only way to test it is with QEMU emulation, and I'll show you a little bit later on the demo how slow it is, you lose basically most of the time on waiting, which is wasted time. Yeah. You can get it for personal ownership, and there's also a provider that Scaleway that started offering from last year a way to cloud. Sorry. Good. Oh, can I? Maybe I should remove my microphone or. Okay, thank you. So Scaleway offers this basically to pay per the time used of that bare metal, which is amazing.
Sorry, but maybe you could make it less sensitive because it's a bit.
Yeah, we are contacting an audio technician. So
I could remove it because I
can't. The recording.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Maybe this way?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Then I decided, okay, and also for RISC-V, because it's fun. I like tinkering with stuff. And I see quite a bright future ahead. I'm not going to enter in the geopolitical things, but things are looking great from a number of perspectives for RISC-V. Okay, why Flatcar Container Linux? I'm a Flatcar Container Linux maintainer, and I thought that, okay, we support AMD 64, ARM 64, why not try to add support for RISC-V? Flatcar Container Linux is a image-based operating system. It's a very minimal operating system. It's secure and reliable by design in the sense that it's very compact, and it's also immutable. So, and the only purpose for Flatcar is to run containers, basically to run Kubernetes in this in today's world. In the cloud-native world. Of course, you can run also virtual environment, of course, with Kubernetes, but that's the main idea for Flatcar Container Linux. Okay, so starting for the RISC-V support. I had to look first at the Flatcar ancestry. Flatcar was a drop-in replacement for CoreOS. Anyone here remembers CoreOS? Still use CoreOS? Fedora CoreOS? Okay.
Flatcar.
Flatcar, perfect. So it's a drop-in replacement for CoreOS. It's a direct fork, and it had evolved over the last 4 or 5 years into a, let's say, to follow the legacy of CoreOS. Important to note that Flatcar via CoreOS is a downstream fork of Gen 2. Gen 2 is basically where Flatcar draws its packaging system. And it's good to note here that it draws the way to build the packages. It doesn't draw the packages itself. So it's a source-based operating system in the same sense as Gen 2. Gen 2 is just the way of building those packages. or provides the way of building those packages. About this, tomorrow there will be a presentation about how Flatcar communities and Gentoo communities work together and how they help each other, you know, going back and forth with the packages and the things. If you'd like to attend, my colleague James will be presenting that tomorrow at 9:30. Important part too is also about the, as I said, the immutability. So being immutable, there is no way other than using containers. Because if you cannot change the OS, there's just the container way. There's no other way. Upgrades are also done, so being immutable, upgrades have to be done via the AB partitioning scheme, like SteamOS and other operating systems. Because if you cannot change it, you have to duplicate, you have to have another partition, and then at reboot time, the B partition becomes the A partition, the active partition. So this is how upgrades work. This is all important for the risk support. So Gentoo has already support for RISC-V. It's currently in the unstable architecture, but most of it's already working. Last year after FOSDEM, after I got my LeechyPy 4A, I went to Gentoo and, okay, let's see how far I can go. So I could actually go really far. The root file system from Gentoo was perfect, was working on RISC-V. The only problem is with all the boards for RISC-V is that they always at this moment require a very, let's say, different kernel source tree, their own source tree. There's no way to use a vanilla kernel. Also, the way of doing the DTBs and the other stuff, the firmware, it's again. So what I ended up, I actually took from took the kernel and the initrd from the an already working operating system, the one that came with LeechyPy 4A, put the root file system of Gentoo, and it booted magically. Everything worked. I was lucky in this because there was the same kernel major version. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible, but it worked. It was a miracle. okay, I booted it. Then I tried to, okay, do I have Docker? Yes, I have Docker if I build Docker, right? And after one day, I could finish building Docker, because Docker is not Docker. It has container D. It has tons of packages. So on the LeechyPy, it took me around 12, 14, 20 hours to actually build Docker. So that doesn't work. That's no way working. So Flatcar is solving this already, because Flatcar comes as a as an image based operating system, and afterwards you have Docker, and then there's a great support from the Alpine community. Anyone here using the Alpine RISC-V Docker images? They have support for anything and everything. You can you just get a GCC and all the building libraries, and you just build stuff on top of using the Alpine. You don't need anything, any compiler on Flatcar, for example, to do your work afterwards. So it's quite amazing.
Does it mean that everybody who inherits Alpine image also supports RISC-V?
Can you repeat?
Oh. Does it mean if anybody use Alpine image to build a Docker, his own Docker image, will it also support RISC-V?
So how it works, the Flatcar operating system already has to have a kernel for RISC-V. So you can actually use with some shenanigans with QEMU on other architectures, but by default, you should have a Flatcar running RISC-V, and then using the Docker image for RISC-V. The Docker images are separate, 100% separate for each architecture. So it's not just one Docker image for Alpine latest, for example. There are three. How many architectures? So yeah, it won't work directly. Unless you use QEMU, and you'll end up in the same problems of a slow environment. So, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you tried?
I don't think it's on, but.
Okay, I have a question. Have you tried using DCC and cross compilers? Do you leverage something like?
I'll be going exactly to that topic.
Thank you.
So we have a bill of materials for Flatcar to build Flatcar. What does it mean to build the Flatcar? Flatcar heavily relies on an SDK. That SDK is a Docker image, is a very big Docker image, amounting to something like 10 gigabytes, which, and there, there are all the libraries necessary, or the cross libraries to build Flatcar. There's also the Flatcar packages, which you put into the Flatcar OS. So we have to discern here that in order to build Flatcar, you need to have more packages than the packages that make Flatcar up. So that's why the Docker image exists for the SDK. Of course, in the bill of materials,